Amen. I hope you have a made-up mind tonight. You're going to run all the way with Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. Not because we're not offered other routes or the fact that the enemy wouldn't try to persuade us to turn or to stop short, but there is something about that made-up mind that says, I did not start this thing to go most of the way and to quit, but I've determined to hold out to the end. Amen. I have determined to hold out knowing who I'm running with and who I am running for. The Bible says in the book of Hebrews that we run looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Amen. I do not run blindly. I do not run as someone who has no idea what the goal is, but I run looking unto Jesus. Amen. Looking unto him that has gone before us. Looking unto him that endured so that we can endure. Looking unto him. The Bible said he endured the cross for the joy that was set before him. And if we are going to see him in that great glorious day, we're going to have to endure our cross. Amen. He said to follow him, we must take up our cross. And as he endured his cross for the joy that was waiting on him, so now tonight we endure our cross, knowing there's a joy, hallelujah, waiting on us. Good to be in the house of the Lord tonight. Good to feel God's presence on this Friday night of revival. Turn with me, if you would, to the book of John, chapter number 7. John, chapter 7, and as you're turning, I do want to say it is good to see everyone here in the house of the Lord. Appreciate Brother James, Sister Kat, their family for coming to be with us. Was in revival with them there in Saratoga last week, and I'm thankful for the goodness of the Lord, how he met with us in that revival and how he's met with us in this revival. And I am just thankful for God's people, thankful for his presence tonight. Do want to say thank you to this church for all that has been done. Brother Shane, the entrusting us behind his pulpit this week, and I don't count it lightly, but I'm thankful for this presence of God, for the help of the Holy Ghost. Thank you for everything, for every prayer, every kind word, the fellowship, warm welcome, meals that have been provided, place to stay. I thank you for everything that's been done, and I'm asking God that he would continue to pour out of his Spirit and continue to fulfill that which he desires to do in this church. And I do ask tonight for your prayers that the Lord would continue to open the doors that need to be opened and strengthen, help us as we try to evangelize and preach the Word of God. And I'm just looking forward to all that God's going to continue to do. A few days ago, it was probably Tuesday or Wednesday morning, I felt like the Lord really allowed this thought to settle in for tonight. And I want to do my best to obey the Lord and relay what he has laid on my heart. Amen. John chapter number 7, if you would, stand with us again for the reading of the Word of God. We're going to read verse 37 through 39. John chapter 7, verse number 37 through 39. The Bible says, in the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, amen, which they that believe on him should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. Amen. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. This spake he of the Spirit. Amen. If the Lord help me tonight, I'd like to preach this thought. An active Pentecost. An active, it's not dormant, it's not dried up or gone away, but the moving of the Spirit is very much active tonight for those who desire it. Amen. Let's pray and ask the Lord to anoint and to have his way in the preaching of the word. Lord, we love you. God, I magnify you. Lord, I thank you for every service of this revival, how you have anointed, how you have strengthened, God, how you have unctioned, and I'm asking again that tonight would be no different. May the anointing and the unction of the Holy Ghost, God, be present in this place. I pray, Lord, for me as I minister. I pray for this congregation as they hear and receive the word of God. We're asking that you would do what only you can do. Lord, as I asked you earlier today, there in that room, Lord, let the Holy Ghost fall. Let the Holy Ghost be poured out, Lord, in fresh and in mighty ways in our midst. Hallelujah. God, I'm asking tonight, let there be nothing that would hinder the moving of the Spirit, but in every way, let your will be accomplished, and we'll give you the glory, the honor, and the praise for it all in Jesus' name. And everyone said amen. Amen. You may be seated tonight. Hallelujah. If you feel. Thank you, Lord, for your word, God. An active Pentecost. The book of John is a very powerful book, as all the books in the Bible are, but you begin to read in the Gospel of John and you begin to notice that as the Holy Ghost moved upon this man to write about Jesus, he did not write him of him just as the Messiah to the Hebrews, as Matthew sometimes he focused in on him being the fulfillment of Old Testament prophecy. He did not write about him as a servant as Mark did. He that came to minister to and not to be ministered to in that day. He did not write about him as the Son of Man, as did Luke, so much as he focused on the compassion of the Savior that could be moved by the needs of common man. But as John wrote about Jesus, he relayed him to the entire world as the only begotten Son of God. Amen. The only begotten of the Father, full of grace and full of truth. It is in chapter 1 that he calls him the Word that was from the beginning, which was God and was with God. He was the Creator. Amen. In chapter 1, verse 14, he said that the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. We beheld his glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and full of truth. It is in the writing of John that we are giving that precious verse in John chapter 3, that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Amen. It is in the book of John that we are then giving the I ams. As he said, I am the bread of life. He said, before Abraham was, I am. I am the light of the world. I am the door. I am the good shepherd. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the true vine. Amen. Oh, I'm glad he's not an I was. I'm glad he's not an I will be. I'm glad he is tonight. Amen. I'm glad he just is. If you go back to Abraham, it is amazing what Jesus says, because Abraham was before Moses. Moses is the first account of God saying that I am. And so God does not just take them back to Moses, but God said, I was the I am at the burning bush. But if you go even further back than him, amen. If you go even further back than Moses, I was already God in the days of Abraham. I was already God in the days of Moses. I was already God in the days of Israel. Oh, hallelujah. I'm glad tonight that God does not look at life like we do. God does not look at today, tomorrow, and yesterday, but God just forever is who he says he is. Amen. God just forever is God, and there is no changing that. Amen. He is God. Not he was God or he will be God. Yes, he was in the past and will be, but in the eyes of God, he just is. One day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is as one. He just is. Hallelujah. He is who he's always been. Amen. And now in the midst of all of this, we come to the book of John, chapter 7, the chapter of our text. And according to verse 2, the Feast of Tabernacles was now at hand. Verse number 14, in the middle of the feast, Jesus begins to teach and begins to talk to the people. And Brother Wesley, as it always did, it caused somewhat of a stir. Amen. It caused the Pharisees to react to that which was being said by the Lord. Amen. And so we come to our text tonight in the last day of the feast, that great day. Amen. You can study it out. I won't get into it all tonight, but that last day of the feast, they had the final ceremony of the Feast of Tabernacles, when the high priest would take the water and would pour it on the altar ceremoniously. And, you know, they had this big to-do and all of that. So as that priest is carrying the water, and as the water is being poured upon the sacrifice, and they're fulfilling the ceremony of the feast that was given unto them, somewhere in the crowd, Jesus stands up in the middle of them and says, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me." Hallelujah. Oh, I'm thankful for the traditions. Jesus was saying that the Feast of Tabernacles was God given in the days of Moses. There was nothing wrong with the feast that they were doing, the ceremony that they were fulfilling. But Jesus said, we're not worried about just the feast anymore. He said, if any man thirst, let him come unto me. Amen. Can I, without getting too far ahead of myself tonight, remind you and I that tradition will never satisfy the soul. Amen. I thank God for routines. I thank God for order. I believe that the house of God should be an orderly place. But we do not find our fulfillment from our tradition. We find the thing that fills the longing of our soul in one source. We find it in Jesus. Amen. We find what fills the void of our life, not in our religion, not in our tradition, but it comes through Jesus Christ and Him alone. Amen. If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Jesus was not speaking of natural water. Jesus was not speaking of that which can be bottled, that which can be sold. Jesus was talking about Pentecost. For the Bible said tonight in our text, this spake he of the Spirit. He wasn't talking about a river in the natural. But he was talking about a spiritual river. One that you can't shut off. Hallelujah. One that doesn't have high tide and low tide. One that doesn't have drought and overflow. But it is a river that is constant. Amen. It is a river that flows without the help of mankind. It is a river of the Spirit of God. Amen. Even in the preaching of John the Baptist, as he identified the Lamb of God that would take away the sin of the world, there was something else that John felt needed to be said in Matthew chapter 3 verse 11. He said, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Amen. Oh dear God, I'm glad tonight to still be a part of a people that believe in a Pentecostal move of the Spirit. Amen. I'm glad tonight to be one of them that still believe in the outpouring of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Is there anybody in the building tonight glad to be someone who believes in Pentecost? Amen. You study into that a little while tonight. I understand that term's been used on certain organizations and things that have changed the view of the word Pentecost. But let's deal with it for what it really is. If you were to go somewhere as secular and as small-minded spiritually as Google, or look it up in that way, they tell us that to be Pentecostal is someone who believes in the outpouring and the baptism of the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in tongues. I'm proud to be a part of that tonight. Amen. I know some feel ashamed of it. Some have called it into question. I'm glad to be one of them. Oh, hallelujah. I'm glad to be someone who believes in the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Amen. I'm glad to be someone who believes that a vessel can be saved. They can be washed. Amen. They can be cleansed. They can be separated from the world. And they still believe in the gift of the Holy Ghost. Amen. They still believe in the outpouring and the demonstration of the Spirit of God. Amen. But as I stand before you tonight, as I stand behind this pulpit, we must come to the reality that Pentecost has come under attack. The moving of the Spirit has come under attack in our churches. It's come under attack in our lives. Amen. For you see, tonight there is an enemy that I have preached about all throughout this week that has done his very best to convince the church that we can have stories and we can have memories, but we can no longer have a true Holy Ghost experience. Amen. That we can no longer have a true moving of the Holy Ghost in our lives and in our churches. Amen. And instead, we're supposed to settle from some stale, dried up resemblance of what used to be. Amen. That we're supposed to remember the moving of Pentecost. We're supposed to remember the moving of the Spirit. But we're supposed to get satisfied with religion. Amen. We're supposed to be satisfied with just a memory of what used to be. Amen. Oh, please, nobody fall out with me tonight, but there are some in our world that are now even teaching that such things as speaking in tongues and running and shouting and miracles and healing and deliverance was only for the days gone by, that it was only good for a memory, it was only good for the book of Acts, that there's no place in today's church for those things. It's just too old fashioned, it's just too outdated, it's too unbecoming of the saints. We've learned how to be better. We've learned how to do it calmer. We've learned how to do it in a different way. Oh, but can I tell somebody tonight, you cannot replace the power of true Pentecost. Oh, hallelujah. I said you can try it all you want to. You can live it all by the formality if you will. But you cannot replace the true power of a move of the Holy Ghost. Amen. We've tried. Oh, dear God, help me tonight. Like I said, I've been thinking on this thing all week long. Amen. The charismatic movement of our day has tried to hinder the holiness church because they've done it in the flesh and they've done it in the will of man. And it's tried to hinder us from having a move of the Spirit because we don't want to be like them. But can I tell the holiness church tonight that you cannot make a counterfeit if there is not first a real. Hallelujah. You cannot make a fake if there is not first a real thing. And before there was fake fire, there was real fire. And before them, my God, hallelujah, I said before there was flesh, there was a genuine outpouring of the Holy Ghost. Amen. It has tried to hinder us from being free in the Spirit, from being able to worship freely. Amen. Either it goes one way or the other. The enemy has tried to close up the idea of a Pentecostal outpouring in our churches. But I don't know about you tonight, but if this Bible is true, and I believe it is, amen, it tells you and I that in the last days, God was going to pour out of His Spirit. Hallelujah. Oh, praise the Lamb of God. You can try tonight to tell me those days are over. You could try to tell me tonight that that's all emotion and hype. But ladies and gentlemen, I am proud to report to you that Pentecost is still real. That Pentecost is still alive. Oh, hallelujah. That Pentecost is not a dormant thing, and it is not an extinct thing, but it is something that is very much real tonight. Amen. You can view it however you want to, say whatever you want to say, but you've come too late to change my mind. I've already seen too much. I've already known it for myself. I could take you to the place in Cartersville, Georgia, when the Lord come down and baptize me as a 10-year-old little boy in the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. I could take you to the place where I was standing on just a Sunday night service when the Lord baptized me in the Holy Ghost. I know it's real. Hallelujah. I said, I know it's real. How do you know? Because I feel it even now. I said, I still feel it now. I feel it in my soul. I feel it burning inside of me tonight. I'm glad it's not dried up. I'm glad it's not a memory. I'm glad it's not just history. It's real. I said it's real. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I said it's real. Can anyone go back to the night when you received the Holy Ghost? Is it real? I said, is it real? Is the fire real? Is the river real? Thank God it's still real tonight. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I can't define what value Pentecost has in your life. But as for me, I do know this one thing. I can't live without the Holy Ghost moving and working. Amen. My God. Without the moving of the Spirit, our sermons will become story time. Without the moving of the Spirit, our worship service will become talent showcases. Without the moving of the Spirit, our altar services become just traditions. But you put Pentecost in all of that. Oh, praise the Lamb of God. Hallelujah. The Bible said in the book of Leviticus, when speaking of the altar, he said that the fire shall ever be burning on the altar. It shall never go out. Amen. If the devil can steal Pentecost from the people of God, then he can take the power out of our prayers. He can take the power out of our preaching. He can take the power out of our soul. But can I tell you tonight, the fire still burns. The river still flows. Hallelujah. I said the fire still burns for those who are hungry, for those who are desirous. You can take this whole world if you want, but give me a good old-fashioned move of the Holy Ghost. I said give me a church that still believes in the outpouring of the Spirit of God. Hallelujah, my God. I said, I feel it stirring tonight. I'm glad that the fire has not gone out. I'm glad that the fire has not been extinguished. It still burns for those who want it tonight. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise the Lamb of God. Oh, help us tonight, Holy Ghost. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, thank the Lord. Amen. I got notes tonight. But is it all right if I just obey the Lord? Amen. I felt the more I went today, there were things in these notes. I just went ahead and put a line through some of them. Amen. I knew I wasn't going to bring them out tonight. Oh, so we're just going to go with what the Lord leads. Amen. I'm telling you what, I thank God for our order. My dad's a pastor. I believe there is an order to the things of God. Don't get me wrong. You come to our church in Georgia, there is an established understanding that there will be order, there will be a rhyme and a reason for that which goes on. But I do want to tell us this. If we are going to be Pentecostal people, then our order can never handcuff the Holy Ghost from having his free will and his way in our churches. If he wants to move in Sunday school, move in Sunday school. If he wants to move in the first song, move in the first song. If he wants to move in a prayer, let him move in the prayer. If he wants to move in the preaching, let it move in the preaching. If he wants to hear my God, if he wants to fill us in the altars, let him do it. If he wants to do it in all of it, then let him have his way. I said, let him have his way. Let's not try to bind the Spirit of God, but say, Lord, have your way in our church. Have your way in our lives. Let Pentecost be active in us. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Let it be active in us. One Sunday morning back home, we came in for Sunday school. We went to open the service. We opened in prayer. Opened the Sunday morning. We was going to Sunday school. Brother Tom, before we said amen, the Holy Ghost fell. For over an hour, people worshiped, cried. People were knelt down in the floor as the King of Glory came into that place. Hallelujah. If he wants to move at the start, he can have his way. During revival quite a few years ago, Dad had long been pastoring the church. Been there 14 years as of a few months ago. First few years of him being pastor of the church, we started revival on a Sunday night. And then that Sunday night, the opening night of revival, a man in our church had a stroke and was hospitalized and was paralyzed on his entire left side. And so he was in the hospital for a day or two. He ended up coming back Tuesday night, I believe, to the revival in a power chair. Had a little chair, and we made a place for him right over on the side. And we went through Tuesday night. We had service. Wednesday night, we had service. Thursday night, all of a sudden, he called my dad that day. And he said, Brother Doug, something has happened in my life. I just had an experience with God today at home all by myself. I got to praying. I got to talking to the Lord. And there in my house, the Holy Ghost come down where I was. Amen. And that night, he come wheeling up the ramp of our church. Going to come in and take his place in the front. But before he came into church that night, he did something a little different. He had a little seatbelt on from where he rode on that thing. He took his seatbelt off and come into church, just riding down the middle aisle, found his place. And my dad opened the service that night. He said, well, I don't usually do testimonies like this, but I would like to give this brother a chance to testify. I just feel in my spirit to give him a chance to open the service tonight with the testimony of what God has done in his life. It's good to be led by the Spirit. So the brother began to testify. I believe that night we started at 7:30. It's no later than 7:34, 7:35, something like that. And that brother began to testify. And he said, Brother Doug, in a time of prayer today, the Lord took me to the scripture in Ezekiel where he measured out and it was to the ankle. And he measured out and it was to the knees and to the waist. And he measured again. And he got to that part, Brother Shane, where he said it was waters to swim in. Hallelujah. And the Holy Ghost hit that paralyzed man and he started shaking and convulsing in that chair, and all of a sudden he looked at my dad and said, and Brother Doug, the Holy Ghost says it's time to stand up. Amen. And about that time, it's like someone shot him out of that chair. He landed in the middle of our church, both hands went in the air, and a paralyzed man went running up and down the middle aisle. Oh, hallelujah. When Pentecost falls, I said, when the Holy Ghost gets involved, there's no telling what he's going to do. I said, hallelujah. I said, there's no telling what God will do if we'll let him have his way. Hallelujah. Why do you think the devil wants to take the moving of the Holy Ghost out of our churches? Why do you think the devil wants to take Pentecost out of our... But it's time to open the door and say, we want it to be active. I want the Holy Ghost to be active in me again. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise the Lamb of God. It's real tonight. Hallelujah. Praise God. Talent is wonderful. I thank God for talent. But talent will only take us so far. I thank God for excitement. Excitement's good. But excitement will only do so much. But what excitement won't do, and what talent won't perform, Pentecost will take care of. Oh, hallelujah. We don't just need hype, and we don't need to be bound only by our traditions. We need the Holy Ghost. Amen. When Jesus speaks of Pentecost, he does not, Brother James, tell us of something that is weak. When he speaks of the moving of the Spirit, he does not speak to us of something that is soon going to be outdated. Oh, hallelujah. But rather, Jesus said of the Spirit, out of your bellies shall flow rivers of living water. Every single day, it's going to be flowing. Hallelujah. That thing's never going to dry up. It's never going to run out. Oh, hallelujah. You can stand at a river all day long, but you're never going to see the same thing twice, because that river's constantly moving. I said that river's constantly flowing. Can I tell you, ladies and gentlemen, we don't need a new spirit. We don't, my God, we don't need a new thing. We don't need a new interpretation. We just need a fresh touch of what has always been. We need a fresh outpouring of what has always been. Hallelujah. We need Pentecost. I said we need the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, dear God, what abundant life needs is not more formality. Oh, my God, we need Pentecost. We need a fresh outpouring of the Holy Ghost. It shall flow. Living water. The word living in the Greek is found, the word used there for living is found in other, comes up as other words throughout the New Testament. But three of the main words you find it as in other texts are lively, quick, or alive. It is not a dead thing. It is not a weak thing. It is not a little trickle. But the moving of the Spirit is lively, it is alive. Hallelujah. Oh, praise the Lamb of God. It is alive. On the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2, when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all in one accord in one place. And suddenly, there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. When I study the Bible tonight, maybe one of these folks, one of you scholars in here could correct me. Brother Shank could correct me after church if I'm wrong. Amen. But when I study the moving of the Holy Ghost in Scripture, I find in my Bible that it flows like a river, it burns like a consuming fire, and it rushes like a mighty wind. I do not read where it is stale, dried up and dormant. It is a lively thing. It is a fire that consumes. It is a wind that is so loud it fills the house. It is a river that's rushing. Pentecost is a lively thing. It is a powerful thing. It is something that takes us beyond the realm of our control. Some people like ankle-deep water. because they can still control it. Even to the knees, if the current ain't too strong, but you get up over your head and let that river get rolling. The river takes control. Oh, hallelujah. God is not looking for us tonight to get close enough to the flow that we feel satisfied and religious. But He's wanting us to get lost in it. Hallelujah. He's wanting us to get so far out into the river that it takes over. Amen. That it takes control. He's wanting us to get so full of the fire that the fire consumes us. Amen. That the wind carries us away. Can I say it tonight and again? I mean this with all due respect. If we are looking for religion, if we are looking for good, solid foundation without ever being moved upon and without ever being able to worship freely, if we are looking for something that is always still and always to itself and always just non-existent, we are not looking for Pentecost. Amen. Because Pentecost to get a hold of you, Pentecost to, my God, Pentecost to overtake you, Pentecost to make someone who never raised their hand before throw up both hands in the air and begin to worship God. True Pentecost, hallelujah, is an active. You don't get burnt by a fire and not react. You don't get caught up in a river and not react. The moving of the Holy Ghost causes a reaction in our lives. I never find a place. Again, I'm just going to preach to you the Bible tonight. I never find a place in Scripture where Pentecost is poured out without expression, emotion, or movement of some kind. In the book of Acts, Pentecost is poured out, the wind fills the building, and they stumble out into the street speaking in an unknown tongue, and people heard them. Acts chapter 4, they pray for boldness and they are again filled with the Holy Ghost and the whole building shakes. You study out. Anytime the Holy Ghost sets down in a place, it moves somebody. I do not just want the goosebumps of Pentecost. I want it to consume me. You don't have to spit and holler and sweat through your suit like I do every night. You don't have to do any of those things. But you cannot look at the consuming fire and stay the same. If it's a tear that comes down your cheek, if it's a hand raised high, if it's a running of an aisle, if it's a dancing in the Spirit, Pentecost will do something. Oh, hallelujah. It will do something in our lives. Amen. And what the devil has tried to do in our churches is take away our belief in victory and our belief. Oh, dear God. Brother Shane, the other night, as I was preaching, the Holy Ghost began to move on him and he danced himself a little bit around this front. Hey, it did my heart good. Amen. To see it. You know why? Because when we've been in the battle and we've been in the fight and we've been walking through the storm, it does us good sometimes just to get caught up in the Spirit. It does us good sometimes. Oh, hallelujah. I know we're not serving based on feeling. I know we're not serving based on a shout. But can I tell you, we are faithful to the Word. We are faithful to the ways of God. But let us not lose our feelings. And let us not lose our hunger for an outpouring of God in our souls. I believe in living a good and holy life. But we cannot only just have the standards of living alone. They must be coupled with a genuine hunger for the Spirit of God. That's in the Bible. For it said that the letter by itself killeth, but the Spirit, hallelujah. Oh, praise the Lamb of God. The Spirit, oh, I feel the Holy Ghost tonight. The Spirit of God Oh, hallelujah. The Spirit of God gives life. On the day of our resurrection, the Bible said that the same Spirit that quickened Jesus is going to quicken our mortal bodies. Hallelujah. I wonder tonight, I'm not going to hold us forever. I understand it's last night of revival. Well, y'all been good to preach to all week, amen. The way y'all responded, it'd be easy just to preach. Just to let it all go, amen, in one night. But I wonder tonight, as we serve the Lord, as we walk with Him, how long has it been? I'm not giving a time. This is what we have to ask ourselves. How long has it been since you last said, Lord, I'd just like to get lost in the Holy Ghost? That we came to church not just to endure another service, but said, Lord, sometime before I go home, I'd just like to get lost in the Holy Ghost. How long has it been since we went to God in earnest and before we brought Him our needs and our problems and our circumstances or situations, we just said, Lord, I just like to feel a fresh touch of the Holy Ghost. Oh, hallelujah. I still believe in the moving of the Spirit, don't you? I told a story a while back, went through a season. I was faithful to the Lord, felt God in preaching, watched God do many miraculous things. But we were about to have revival at our church and last February, and me and another friend of mine, another preacher in the church, were talking, and he made the statement one day. He said, you know what? It's been a long time since I just felt the liberty to just break through in the Spirit in a church service and just to shout. And I looked at him, I said, you know what? I agree with that. We don't live based on it, but it wouldn't hurt us every now and then. You can call me crazy if you want to, but you may tell you what I went home and asked the Lord that day. Lord, before that revival is over, I'd like to feel it get on me just like that one more time. Sunday, Holy Ghost moved. Monday, Holy Ghost moved. Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, man, Brother Elijah Higginbotham was preaching revival for us, friend of mine. Man, he preached all week. Every single night, man, he just laid it back, was throwing it down, amen. He was preaching to us. We got to Friday night. We wasn't singing. There was no great explosion. He was in the middle of preaching, amen. He got to preaching about the promises of God. He got to preaching about the goodness of the Lord. And I watched, amen, I was standing off to the side. On our stage, I watched as that man begin to preach, amen, and the Holy Ghost begin to come down, and all of a sudden, I watched men and women across that place begin to rise to their feet, amen. He began to preach and to share about the goodness of God, and it was like someone hit a switch, and out of nowhere, it was like a flood come through that place. Man, I have never seen my Lord. Oh, dear, it was kind of like youth camp last year on that Friday morning we were talking about today. Man, he was in the middle of preaching, and all of a sudden, it was like something went off in that place, and before I knew it, I was on the other side of the church. Hallelujah. Oh, something got a hold of me, and someone come up to me after church that night and said, I don't know if I've ever seen you move like that. And I said, sister, I've been asking God all week to let me get a hold of that. I've been asking God, it would do some of us some good to say, Lord, would you just let it get a hold of me again? Would you listen? Oh, hallelujah. Would you just let it fall again? Would you just let it come by one more time? Man, God, revive our hunger for the Holy Ghost. You say, oh, that's nice. It's Friday night of revival. Talk about the move of the Spirit. Oh, no. I pray Sunday morning. Mother's Day, I know. Wouldn't it be wonderful to come right back into the house of God Sunday? and the Holy Ghost fill this place. When revival has come and gone and it's back to business as usual, wouldn't it be nice to walk in these doors and just know that the Holy Ghost, oh, hallelujah. I can't decide for you and you can't decide for me. But if we will get hungry for it, if we will get a desire in our soul, there is no devil in hell that can stop it from happening. Hallelujah. Oh, dear God, if someone would get hungry for a moving of the Holy Ghost again, amen. Oh, you may not run. You may not dance like Brother Shane did the other night. You may not express real loud, but there will be something happen. There will be something down in the depths of your soul. I don't want to just go to church because it's a good thing to do, but I want to have a meeting with the Holy Ghost. I just don't want to get in my prayer closet in the morning just to say I prayed, but I want to get in there and have a meeting with the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I just don't want to preach to say I preached another sermon. I want to have an experience with the Holy Ghost. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I just don't want to go through another worship service just to say we sang the songs. But I'm hungry for a moving. Is there anyone in here tonight that would say, Lord, send a fresh outpouring in this church. Send a fresh outpouring in our lives. Send a fresh, oh hallelujah. Come on somebody. Are you hungry for a move of the Spirit? Are you hungry for a touch of the Holy Ghost? How long has it been? How long has it been since you got caught up in it? Since the river overtook you? Oh, let it happen again. Let it happen again, God, in us. Praise the Lamb of God. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Amen. In the Old Testament, there was nothing that symbolized God's presence to the nation of Israel as did the Ark of the Covenant. But then there came a day when the Philistines took the Ark. Fast forward with me quickly to the days of Saul being king. And the Bible says these words, that not once did he inquire after the presence of the Lord. 42 years he was king. And not once did he say, I need his presence back. But then came a man to the throne. A young man who knew what it was like to be by himself with God. Hallelujah. A young man who knew what it was like when all he had was a harp in his hands and a song in his heart. Amen. When all he knew was that God was his everything or he had nothing at all. He came to the throne, and after 42 years, when the king said he did not want his presence, David came to the throne and said, I've got to have the glory of God back again. I've got to have the presence of God back. So we know the story. He went to get the ark. He kind of messed it up on the first time. Amen. He tried to carry it the way the world did. I'll stop and say this. The church cannot handle his glory the way the world's trying to. So he gets it right. He understands that the priest must bear the ark of God. And then came the big day. So David went and brought up the ark of God from the house of Obed-Edom unto the city of David with gladness. And it was so that when they bare the ark, and they that bare the ark of the Lord and went 6 paces, he sacrificed oxen and fatlings. Can you imagine the anticipation? Over 4 decades, we've been waiting on this moment. Over 40 years, we've been waiting on this day. And here comes that glory up the road. It was not brought in by a cart Oh, there's too much to preach for me to have time to preach it tonight. But I'll just stop and say this. The modern church has tried to carry it in on a cart of entertainment. If we can get the music just right and the setting just right, we can get air, we can carry it in on a cart of entertainment. Carts will never carry His glory. But it's when the royal priesthood puts it on their shoulders, that's how the glory gets to the city. Oh, hallelujah. When the priesthood gets under the burden, they say, we're not going to try the cart. We're not going to try some new fancy way, but we're going to bring it in on prayer. We're going to bring it in genuine worship. Hallelujah. We're going to bring it in with hungry hearts. They begin to get close to the city. And the Bible said that David's out there dancing before the Lord with all of his might. I told you to do something to you. Oh, hallelujah. The glory of God. Begin to do something in the life of David. And Saul's daughter looked out the window and despised him in her heart. The Bible did not call her David's wife. It called her Saul's daughter. There was something about Saul that was still in her. And she despised David. Ladies and gentlemen, the carnal and complacent will always despise the worship of the hungry. But David looked at her and he said, you thought that was bad. You wait till tomorrow. I'll put it in our language if today, if that's all right. You ain't seen nothing yet. You thought I worshiped, but when it got to the gate, you ought to wait till we introduce that thing to the city tomorrow. You ought to wait till we give it its rightful place in the house of God tomorrow. He said, I will worship, I will dance, I will praise the Lord. I've come to tell us tonight, the world said you can't have it. You better stay quiet. You better sit down and just let the world pass us on by. But I feel a stirring in these last days for those who are hungry, for those who are desirous of the Holy Ghost. Lord, if you will send it, we'll take all that you'll give. Hallelujah. If you'll just pour it out, we're hungry for it, Lord. We're hungry for it. We're hungry for a moving of the Holy Ghost. I'm closing tonight. I cannot help in my mind but to see as that ark made its way through the gate that maybe that dancing king began to look around at the city. The Bible doesn't say this, but it also doesn't say that it didn't happen either. Brother Tom, I can almost see that king as he's dancing in front of that ark, start looking around and saying, it's back. It's back. We've been waiting on it. We've been missing it for far too long. Brother Wesley, it's back. His glory's back. It made its way. Oh, hallelujah. It's back. It's made its way back to the city. There's a New Testament version of that. I fully believe when Peter stood up on the day of Pentecost and said, this is that. Hallelujah. This is, we've been waiting on it. We've been tarrying for it. And now it's here. I said, we've been praying for it. We've been looking for it. Now it's here. I pray in this church. I pray in your, let Pentecost be active. Let the moving of the Holy Ghost be real and be prevalent. It's coming back to our churches. It's coming back to our pulpits. It's coming back to our altars. It's coming back to our homes. It's coming back to our youth. Coming back to our elders. It's time to open the gates of the city and allow Pentecost to enter in again. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, help us tonight, Holy Ghost. Amen. I ask tonight as you stand all over the house with me, is there anyone in this place, and you don't have to answer it aloud, but just ask it of yourself tonight. Is there anyone in this house that would say, God, I want your spirit to be active in my life. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. I want that river flowing through my life. I want that fire burning in my life. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, I feel the presence of God in this place tonight. I want the fruit of the Spirit to be active in me. I want the gifts of the Spirit to be active in our, oh, hallelujah. I want the Holy Ghost to be active in my life. Amen. Oh, dear God. And I say tonight, as we get ready to come to this altar and pray, that we would call on God, not just because I'm saying it, but if you mean it from the depths of your heart tonight. Oh, I'm not calling on a shout, on a running, or nothing like that. But I'm asking you, if you truly desire for Pentecost to be active in you, that when we find us somewhere to pray, from the depths of our hearts, we would begin to call on God to, Lord, let the Holy Ghost fill my life. Would you be willing to do that tonight? Lord, I want the Holy Ghost to be active. Oh, hallelujah. I said, I want the Holy Ghost. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. I want it to be active in me again. I want to feel it from the bottom of my feet to the top of my head. I want to get lost in the river again. If that's your hunger tonight, I'm inviting everyone who would to fill this altar, to find us somewhere to pray. And I'm asking us again tonight to begin to call on God. Lord, I want an active Pentecost. I just don't want a memory of Pentecost. Oh.